Health officials are testing Tri-Cities, Washington drinking water twice a week for toxic algae, since half a dozen dogs were sickened or died recently after being on the Columbia River. And the river shore is closed in Howard Amon Park in Richland. But as correspondent Anna King reports, there is still much to learn about toxic algae.
Krista Ann Patterson lets some air out of an inflatable paddleboard.
It's super loud.
Patterson owns this paddleboard rental shop near the Columbia River shore with her mom in Richland. Business has been tough since the river shore was closed to the public for toxic algae. Before that, it was the pandemic, then shipping delays for her merchandise, staffing shortages. Now this river closure is happening during the money-making months.
It's kind of laughable at this point. So I've definitely cried, but at this point, I'm just kind of laughing because it's like, of course there's toxic algae after these 2 years. Like, what the f***? Sorry. But seriously, like, what in the world?
The Columbia River water being tainted with toxic algae is surprising to many. The river is usually deep and cool. But this year, a drought, heat events, and a hot summer have all contributed to the problem.
So it's been a problem for many, many years, but it's definitely getting worse.
Ann Schlechinger is with the Environmental Working Group, a watchdog organization based in Washington, D.C. She says there aren't many federal or state regulations around algae, just recommendations for some levels. Schlechinger even has a weekly updated map of algae outbreaks or deaths across the country. She says in many ways, the algae bloom on the Columbia isn't surprising. Climate change, heat, drought, and nutrients cause blooms.
If you look upstream from where the algal bloom has occurred in the Columbia River, there's a ton of agriculture in the watershed. There are farm fields even right up next to the river. So we know this algae bloom is feeding off of nutrients that come from farm fields.
Schlechinger says algae can sicken or kill animals and people many ways. Breathing in dried dust, inhalation of toxic mist or air, irritating the skin, and drinking it. And she says there are four classes of toxins that we can test for. But she's also worried about what we don't know.
There are potentially thousands of different varieties of cyanotoxins, and we don't even know all of the ones that exist.
Wayne Carmichael is a retired scientist who now lives in a forest on the Oregon Coastal Range. He's well known in aquatic biology science circles. Carmichael says toxic algae is an ancient life form that's been here long before humans. They helped create the atmosphere for all living forms that need oxygen. But now it's grown into a climate problem, like the wildfires in California and Oregon. And he says there's few shortcut ways to beat algae.
Whether they're reservoirs, lakes, rivers, ponds, anything. We pollute them too much. We put too many nutrients in them. We abstract water from them for various reasons so that the water flow is low. They don't have good flushing rates for lakes and reservoirs anymore. All those things contribute to it.
Carmichael gets a bit frustrated by the continuous study of where, why, and how the blooms are happening. He says it's time for action on algae. Carmichael says nutrients have to be extracted out of water bodies, industrial chemicals, fertilizers, manure, and human waste have to be reduced, and more water flow is required.
If you don't go beyond just knowing where it's at, you're never going to do anything about it. So that's what I mean by, we're sort of repeating the same thing that we've been doing for 50 years.
Carmichael and other experts say with a growing Northwest population, industry, and climate change, toxic algae blooms are expected to happen more frequently. Tri-City officials intend to keep testing the Columbia River drinking and recreational water until the toxins don't show up. I'm Anna King.